the internet today. Can you believe it's been 10 years since the Avengers came out? And I just thought about that because we're on the opening weekend of the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's just, it just seems like yesterday that the Avengers came out. I remember taking Mikey to see it. And that was like one of his first movies, I think, early on when he was little. You know, could take him to see that. And how far we've come, though, in 10 years already in the stories they told. And I think that's kind of cool, though, that people over at Disney and Marvel had a vision of what they wanted. Maybe it wasn't always perfect at times, those early goings. And but here we are now in the latest phase of these adventures that we grew up reading on the big screen. And it's pretty cool. And I think the Avengers still holds up pretty well. 10 years later.
It's a fun film. It's not my favorite Avengers film. But hey, you know, it was the first of
kind of started
something we'd never seen before. Yeah.
Well, I was one of those weirdos that enjoyed the second movie more than the original.
Yep. You're a weirdo. But I think what Avengers allowed us to do is to get to the point we are now with movies like Endgame and Infinity War and the Spider-Man, all the Spider-Mans being in the movie, and from what I've read about all the cameos in Doctor Strange and different things like that, I think Avengers opened that pathway up for those, because before then it was pretty straightforward, all the films, and they saw that ensemble films could work and it could broaden the universe on the big screen. And so I think it's an important stepping stone to where we are now. And in 10 years is something. And it's still a good movie. It's funny because, you know, Josh Whedon in the last few years has, you know, been in the news, obviously, and for not being such a nice guy. But people, you know, some of Bryan Singer's films, on the other hand, have been looked at differently because of his accusations, and but it seems like Avengers is one of those that kind of transcends above that because it's such a huge pop culture event, and it's not as closely related to being to Joss Whedon as maybe Bryan Singer's films are. And I think it's interesting people's perspectives of different films and who directed them, and in this current culture we're in as far as opening up people's eyes to different things people have done. But Avengers seems to have transcended that and brought us a very important movie in comic book culture. So, but, you know, hats off to 10 years of the Avengers. And this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. And this is Mark.
This is Matt.
Long.
Matt let out a girly like scream right there. We shall forgive your child. Put a titty in that right boy's mouth. how are you fellas doing? How are you guys doing this week?
Good. Start of a new job. My body was like, what the heck is this? It was more physical labor, but that's okay. By today, I felt like I was gotten used to it now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's been a
new horizon.
Productive week.
That's good, man. I'm glad you started a new thing this week. I know you needed some change up.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, that's good because I was sick and tired of your pathetic stories from your cubicle, bitch. And listen to you moan and cry and whine. I'm just kidding, Long. You know I'm here for you, brother.
No, you're not.
Maybe just a little.
Uh-huh.
But no, it's good, man. And
as the guy with the easiest job in the world.
What the fuck? So you're talking about Matt, right? It's just a computer just tells people where to go.
No, I'm talking about you, Mark.
Up on a forklift.
You and your typical receiver god complex.
Yeah, trust me. My job is anything but easy. I did 15... No, I did 18,000 steps yesterday, according to my phone.
That's okay, Mark. So, I'd rather deal with you than any of the Walmart receivers.
That's right.
This is true. My guys always say that Mark's
although you are guys. You are borderline getting to be that way, though.
If I have to bring down the thunder, I will. Okay? That's all you need to know.
This is a typical Walmart receiver talking to a vendor, right? And I'm not kidding you at all. Literally, this is what they say when you walk into the door. They'll be like, "What do you want?" Like, "I'm tired of your deliveries." Like, "Well, I'm tired of you making money off us then."
Damn. <Told them.
laughs> Yep. Like, my typical when someone walks in the doors, "What's up?" That's it. Yeah. I mean, I try not to yell at people.
Very cordial.
I used to yell at Matt a lot when he came to my store. But, you know, it's Matt. I yell at Matt on the podcast. Really, Matt? I yell at Matt on the podcast. So, I mean, that's a change. You know?
It's all good, you know.
Like, I know the Walmart really receiver. What do you want? Why are you breathing the same air as I am? Did you just make eye contact with me?
How dare!
Hurry up and deliver your stuff.
How dare they?
You just came from Kroger's. You should prioritize us. I'm on lunch.
Long let out it's not lunch. All time. The industry secrets. But anyway, other than that, it's been an okay week for me. Baseball season's over for my middle son, so that's slowed things down a little bit, but still ended up being a busy week. I'm just a little tired and can kind of hear it in my voice. My voice is a little shot from my allergies this week and stuff, but otherwise I'm doing okay. This is episode 297, man. We're just about 3 weeks away from the big 300. As we get closer to that. But before we get there, we got some things to talk about. Let's download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week, or video games we played. And whoever wants to go first this week, what'd you guys check out?
Did I tell y'all I watched Dune?
Last week, yes.
Last week? Okay. I didn't watch anything this week.
Well, okay then. Not that I watched a ton either.
Just FF14. I know I need to catch up on some of the episodes of the new season of anime that I need to catch up on.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch much either. I went back and watched Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom because I saw the trailer for the new film and I couldn't really recall Fallen Kingdom, so I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to watch it." And man, you know, it's like two different movies. It's like there's this whole really great part at the beginning of the movie on the island, and it's really cool, and dinosaurs and volcanoes and just cool shit. And
sad,
yeah, it got a little sad. Then all of a sudden, it just shifts. All of a sudden, Owen and I can't remember her name are inside the enemy's headquarters and trying to escape, and the next thing you know, they're at this house and they're selling dinosaurs. I'm like, "Wait, what happened here? We went from an island and escaping to these poachers that show up wanting to buy dinosaurs." It's kind of a weird, not really a tone shift, but just a odd plot shift in the middle of the movie. I don't hate the movie. It's got some neat ideas in it and stuff, but it's just kind of it's just a little awkwardly paced, I guess. But I wanted to rewatch it to know where we were left at the end of it, leading into Dominion. And I remember now, they let dinosaurs escape. So there's dinosaurs living in the world. So obviously from the trailers of Dominion, dinosaurs live among us. And it looks like it's going to be some bad shit going down.
You looking forward to it?
Yeah. I mean, I was texting you the other day, and you know, the Jurassic movies have kind of become almost modern Godzilla movies in a way where all scientific ideas are now thrown out the window and they're just going to do ape shit crazy dinosaur movies. And that's what seems what they try to do with Fallen Kingdom, and they're doing the new one. And you know what? I'm okay with that. You know, I mean, because let's face it, we go to those movies for the dinosaur action. We're not going to them for the human story. Same thing with the Godzilla movies. You go to them to see Godzilla or King Kong throw down. You're not going to them to see what Miley Brown is doing in the movie as a human character. You just want to see the creature. So, and if that's what the Jurassic movies have become, then I'm all for it. So, and that's really all I really watched this week. A couple episodes of Entourage. I've been going back and watching Entourage from the beginning on HBO Max, and yeah, because I love that show. That's really about it. It's kind of my guilty pleasure show.
Nice. I've continued watching My Hero Academia. I'm kind of towards the end of the fourth season.
Oh, and, already? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's quick. That's a lot of episodes you watched.
Dude, yeah. Well, I've been like binging it on Sunday mornings and Monday mornings and like just watching, like I'll watch like 6 episodes, 8 episodes. And then, you know, I'll try and watch a couple during the week, get like 1 or 2 in per day so I can kind of clear, you know, I can clear sometimes 20 episodes in a week.
Yeah.
And, but it's gotten interesting. They've, you know, it's, I'm trying to slow down, cause I'm getting to the end of the library and, I'm not sure when the next season's coming out. I have to look.
Well, you never said if you liked the show so far. What?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like
what it. You like of it.
I like that it's this passing of a torch story, and you know, this, you know, kid's given this incredible power, and you know, he's been trying to hone it. I'm glad that he's, you know, he's developed enough to where he doesn't like break his arm trying to use this strength from All Might all the time, and now he's learning how to use it and developing himself into a, you know, the next, you know, beacon of justice and truth and,
any, filler episodes?
There are here and there. Yeah. Like there's, you know, they're trying to get ready for this classroom presentation or something. And it's, you know, a bunch of, you know, but it's like, it's here and there. It's not like I felt like Naruto, there was like a span of like 50 episodes or something like that. You know, after him and, Sasuke fought and then, you know, between that and the start of Naruto Shippuden and, you know, it's, you know, crazy watching just, you know, little episodes that are meaningless, you know, really that don't really move the story too much and are forgettable. So I'm glad that it just has like, a, you know, 1 or 2 thrown in here or there, you know, but it's not like that. But I mean, definitely check it out. You know, if you haven't yet, if, you know, long, I know you're kind of at the end of season 2, 30 episodes in or so. I think it gets better. It gets better after that. I like the end of season 3 and the middle.
Who's your favorite character in it so far?
Oh, I like Adori, well, Deku, Midoriya, the Izuku Midoriya, which his superhero name's Deku, and of course, I do like All Might, and I like his homeroom teacher, Eraser. He's pretty cool, yeah. Kind of calm and calculated.
I like the Frog Girl.
She's funny. She got interesting powers, yeah. And I like the Speedster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
The animation is top notch. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, big time. And the sound effects and the vocal effects are really good. The bad guys are solid too. But yeah, man, did that, and I watched Army of Darkness today because I was like, why not? You know.
From our conversation and text.
Yeah. From and because I did, you know, of course, I'm not going to, you know, no spoilers or anything. It's worth seeing and go see it. But Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, only Raimi could have directed that. That's all I'll say. And go see it. You'll see it. It's awesome. Tons of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next Friday.
Oh, so. Yeah. I don't know if the spoiler barrier will be lifted next week, but
oh, it will be. We never care about that. We just give out the spoiler warning and we talk about it.
You know? That's true. We've done that with the past 2 Marvel films or past 2.
We did it for Batman.
Batman. We did Spider-Man. You know, I think we may have like the same logic with the Spider-Man movie. Where you're just like, we just got to talk about it. So, look forward to next week. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I watched.
porn.
Maybe food porn. I think I watched some food porn.
What?
I've been hungry lately. Yeah, man. You know, Gordon Ramsay.
You American know? Pie.
American Pie. Yeah.
Matt probably. Never.
Well, that's about it.
That's too easy.
Yeah.
And we move on.
Yes.
To a movie that, according to the first rule of the movie, you're not supposed to talk about it. But you know what? Fuck that. We're talking about it because it's a movie and it's a good movie. A movie that came out in 1999. If I remember correctly, this was not. Did Fincher make? I think he made The Game before he made this. I think he did Seven, then The Game, then this. So he had a role mm-hmm. there of three movies in a row that were all really pretty well done. Have you guys ever seen The Game with Michael Douglas? That's a really good, yep. really good David
Sean Penn
as well. But we are talking Fight Club today, starring Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, and the late great Meatloaf is in the film as well. A young Jared Leto, also in the movie, and Helen Bonham Carter. And man, it was I was rewatching this week. She's really good in this movie. I always think like she kind of plays in most of the films. She's always in Tim Burton films, and she's kind of the same character, if that makes sense, in most of the films she's in. Tim Burton just kind of mm-hmm. seems to typecast her, but like she really honestly gets to kind of shine in this movie. That's just one thing I noticed. But I'll summarize. I haven't summarized in a while. Essentially, the movie is about a guy who's kind of getting bored with his life, his standard living of buying things out of IKEA catalogs and going to work every day. And so he meets this guy named Tyler Durden who talks him into looking past his normal everyday life and creating a fight club as a new form of therapy because this character has been going to therapy sessions for different things that he doesn't even have, different diseases and stuff, just as his way of doing with life. And Fight Club evolves into almost like a terroristic-like group throughout the film. This is not an easy movie to explain. But in the end, it turns out that this character is Tyler Durden the entire time. And obviously, spoilers if you've seen Fight Club by now. And he creates this whole image of a new life within himself by creating fight clubs and terrorist groups and burning up his own apartment in order to find essentially a new meaning for his living and his existence. And at the end of the film, he accomplishes his goals and sees things in a new way after almost blowing his face off.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way. It really is difficult to explain this movie.
I think you did a pretty good job. I mean, without going off on too
but
much.
But at the same time, it's not a hard movie to watch. If you watch it, you can keep up with what's going on. The twist at the end of the movie is great, even to this day. Mm-hmm. And it all makes sense at the end of the movie. It's just kind of difficult to explain what Fight Club is about to someone because they think that, oh, it's a movie about fighting. No, it's really a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And I saw this in theaters when it came out with my dad. I told the story at the end of the last week's episode a little bit. And I felt really awkward in the constant sex scene where he's walking around the house and you hear them making noise. I'm watching my dad. I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird. But I
bring condoms floating in the toilet. Yeah,
I liked this movie from the moment I saw it. It's a movie I revisit every often just to rewatch because I think it's still relevant. 20 years later, it's some great performances, this movie, great direction from David Fincher. And that's another thing. This complicated plot of this film, what an amazing job by the editors, the cinematographers, and David Fincher putting together this movie. Because this is a movie that not any director could do. It could easily get lost in translation. But they do a good job with this on the big screen. And I actually have read the book and, it's pretty close to the book. There's some changes in the book, like he meets Tyler Durden in the book on a nude beach, not an airplane. So they changed some things like that. It's been a long time since I read the book, so I don't want to compare it too much, but I do remember that scene specifically for some reason. But you guys, what y'all's initial impressions of Fight Club?
I saw this movie, what, over 10 years ago? And I think it's not spoken enough how the voiceover really helps, you know, bring you along for the ride of the film. I think the voiceover is really key to tying all the, you know, perspectives and narratives together. Edward Norton, he's really good as a disgruntled everyday work cubicle guy. I relate to it so much. So it's like watching that was like, oh man, that's that hits home quite a bit. Yeah, so I really like how, what's this movie about? I always thought about that. This is probably the second time I've ever watched this film from beginning to end. The first time I watched it, you know, over 15 years ago, and now recently. So, and then Brad Pitt, yeah, he's just awesome in this film. I remember when I went and saw this, I had expectations going into the film that, oh, Brad Pitt's just going to act like a, you know, flamboyant, crazy guy, but no, not really. He's just someone really that could do things that Edward Norton's character wish he could do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, and then Helena Bonham Carter, her acting in this is superb as well. She's a scene stealer, I have to admit. Every time she's on the scene, you know, she just has this charisma, right? That you feel sympathy for her Edward Norton snaps at her, you know?
Oh yeah.
Because why is she being so hurt? Like, you kind of wonder, it's like, why is she being so offended every time he insults her, you know? And then of course the twist explains it all, right? So, but yeah. How about you, Matt?
I watched it after it came to home video DVD. I knew about it whenever it came out, but I didn't see it until, like, you know, a few years after it came out, really. Once it probably hit the TV screen, and then I was able, you know, I got the DVD. But it was one of those movies where it's like the people next door, they would have their own Fight Club. And every once in a while, we'd hear something hit the fence, and it was people fighting next door.
Only in the hood, they man.
They're really beating each other pretty good. It's just crazy the stuff that happened after it came out, which you may get into later. But I like the film. I like the twist. I like the philosophies and the themes. You know, this is your life and it's ending one second at a time. You know, and we buy things that we don't need to impress people we don't like. And, you know, we have no great war. We have no great depression. You know, ours is a spiritual war. And, you know, the whole great reset stuff is pretty cool. Yeah, man, his name is Robert Townsend. Meatloaf, man.
Robert Paulson.
Wow. Townsend. I mean, everything that you guys said, you know, with the existential twist at the end, he created the persona. That's got to be one of the greatest twists in cinematic history. I think it's probably on everyone's top five list. If you're like, what's the five biggest twists in a film? You know, of course, Frank, he would probably say The Crying Game, you know, is probably one of the greatest.
And what's great about the twist, too, is the book wasn't extremely popular. You know, Chuck Palahniuk, however you say it, was kind of an underground writer. He had some success, but he wasn't hugely successful. So they were able to, even though the twist is in the book, they were able to keep the twist pretty secret for the film because people didn't know about the book. You know, so it worked, and I think that's what makes it work. But it is a great twist. I remember being completely blown away the first time I saw this. And when you go back and watch the movie, you do pick up on things. Like Long said, why is he being so mean to Helena's character? You know, Martha is her name. Because you know, and then you start picking up on it later on, why he's being mean to her. You start noticing that Tyler always comes in the room when she's not there. And you start
seeing don't mention me.
and you can even go back to the beginning of the film. The first time you watch this, you don't notice it. But the movie, first off, it throws you right into the kind of that weirdness of it, where he's going to therapy and there's Robert with these huge man tits and all this. It's just like, what am I watching? You know? And then he has these multiple jobs and he puts pictures of dicks inside the movie reels, which is a play to what's going on, because Tyler flashes on screen about 9 or 10 times in the first 15 minutes of the movie. And the first time I saw it, I didn't even notice that at all. Then when I watched a home video, I noticed it a couple of times. Now I notice it several times. It happens a lot until they meet on the airplane. Well, and then, of course, he passes them up on the escalator in the airport. But and it's all foreshadowing to the events that Tyler is made up in. Well, he is Tyler. This character is made up in his own mind. And I think that's pretty cool. It's just really smart filmmaking, smart editing, and a cool way to tell a story.
That revelation, though, came off as pretty humorous, though. For me, it was. You know, it wasn't like that reveal wasn't made in the most dramatic way, right, but kind of in the humorous light.
A little more humorous, it's like, and subtle, yeah.
Yeah, here, have a drink. You know, it's like he's like talking to an invisible person the whole time.
Yeah.
So
hitting himself in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I think it's cool at the end of the film where him and Tyler are fighting over the explosions, and you see the camera, he's fighting no one. He's just jumping around. It's pretty cool. And this is go back to like Brad Pitt. This was like the movie where you realize, like, this guy's not just a pretty boy. He can act his ass off. And we know that now years later, man, with how good he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and other films he's been in, that Brad really is a really good actor. And he's excellent in this movie. But so is Edward Norton. Has Edward Norton won an Oscar? I don't know. I know he's been nominated.
American History X, maybe?
He might have been nominated. I don't know if he won. But
American History X. Yeah, he was nominated.
Yeah. But just a really well-acted, really well-directed film.
Ernie's a very difficult actor to work with, though.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see him in very many films.
That's why he never was invited back to play the Hulk.
Yeah.
And, but.
Man, he could have been in the Avengers.
I know.
But I like Mark Ruffalo, though. I really like
him. I do, too.
I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
only nominated. I checked.
A young Jared Leto in this movie who gets the shit beat out of him.
And, yeah, pretty bad.
He's, he did a couple movies with David Fincher early in his career. He did this in Panic Room to get his start while he was still playing music in 30 Seconds to Mars and doing some acting at the same time. But he looks very different in this movie. Like, I'm watching it and like, it looks like Jared Leto, and it is Jared Leto, but his face is like, he's so young in this movie that he almost has like this baby face, you know?
Yeah. Kind of like an American Psycho.
Yeah. He's just, because he was in that too, right? Yeah. He looks just really young in this movie. But it's cool to see him in a small part in the movie. Because one thing I do think that's great about Jared is he's pretty good at what he does. You know, he's going on to win an Oscar, and he's been very successful in acting. And granted, he made, this crappy Morbius movie that everybody says sucks, but, I don't think it's his fault. I think he's probably fine in the movie. It just seems like there were a lot of other problems going on there. But this might be one of his early roles that he got to start on, if I can remember correctly. So
I would say probably so. I don't remember him much before this.
Yeah. Yeah, because he, I'm just curious about something. Well, how old he was when he made this?
I think it's funny that Botham Jean Carter's character She's Martha. She's
Helena Bonham Carter.
Helena. Man, I can't name actors today for some
reason. Both of you guys can't say names.
He's about 27 years old when he made Fight Club.
Don't feel alone.
Yeah. Man. Freeloading off the coffee and donuts and then grabbing random people's clothes.
Regan Mark called Joss Whedon Josh Whedon. So
Josh Whedon. But man, this film, man, just it escalates so fast. You start with just the simple, hey, we're gonna box it out. Hey, let's take out like 10 buildings. it's just, wow, that was, that escalated quickly. And then the soap, it's like, I always thought that scene was kind of gross. The fat, the grease gets caught, those grease bags that they're stealing to make the soap, and it gets caught on the barbed wire and just leaks everywhere. You're like, wow, pork grease.
Yeah.
And it's also a miracle that David Fincher was able to direct this film despite having directed Alien 3 a few years earlier.
Just
only like 3 or 4 years earlier. So, because, it's a good thing that movie made money. So.
Yeah, but he had 7 under his belt, though.
Yeah, that's right. 7 was after Alien
3. Yeah, 7 was 95.
Right.
So I imagine that had to help out quite a bit.
And that was really the first film where Brad Pitt was like, forget about Legends of the Fall.
They made the game in 97. So, yeah. So he had a couple of hits under his belt before he made this. So that certainly helped. Yeah, I kind of forgot that he made Alien 3, which was not widely liked at the time. I don't hate it. Alien 3, though, is kind of fun, It's all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a downgrade from Aliens. I think people kind of hated on it, but, hey, I dig Alien 3. And, of course, we've covered 7. The game was really good with Michael Douglas. He went on to work with Brad Pitt again in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. So
that was a good one.
Yeah, so Fincher's worked
with him. I like that one.
Worked with Pitt a few times. I got my voice, man. I'm sorry. But I like Fight Club quite a bit. Like I said, I think rewatching it this week, I think it holds up really well. It's still relevant as far as the ideas of making your life your own, I think. It also has a very 90s feel to it. It's still a 90s movie. Maybe some of the things about the Great War and stuff aren't as relevant now because we've had 9/11 and things have occurred in the world since then. But there's still a lot of relevance to this movie. But I also think this movie it has something to say, but I don't feel like this movie is overly preachy, I think it tries to say something, but you also just enjoy it for what it is. And if you walk away, you take something from it, great. If you don't, it was just an entertaining movie. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty spot on. Either, buy into its messages, many, many messages, or you're just like, hey, this thing's entertaining.
And that's kind of how the writer Chuck Palahniuk and David Fincher have said in the past, even with the book, he said, I wasn't trying to be overly preacher. I was just write what I thought was a cool story. And, and whatever people take from it, they take from it. Because art is subjective, as we all know. And it doesn't mean always that the writer or director is trying to tell you something. Sometimes you're just trying to make a great film. And I think this is a great film. And I give it A+ easily. I really like this movie a lot. It might be my favorite David Fincher movie. And I like 7 a lot too, but I think this is a little more accessible than 7. 7's depressing as fuck, man. You don't want to put on, you don't go, oh, I really want to watch 7, Where Fight Club, you might be like, hey, I want to watch this.
I'm the opposite. I like horror. And 7 is closer to horror. I would watch Seven over this, but I think this is the better movie. You know, I acknowledge that. I'm more entertained by Seven, but this is the better movie. Just everything that is going on, how it comes together, and you can't deny it's a masterpiece. So, A plus.
Extremely well edited film. Very well edited.
Yep.
Yep. I'd give it an A as well. Yeah, it's a movie you don't forget.
No.
You know?
No.
So, especially the ending.
Yeah.
Which, so.
The ending.
Kind of cheered for it in a way.
Yeah. And that in the ending, the last 25 minutes of this movie, to use this term, breathtaking, it is. It starts moving so quick. Once the twist happens, everything starts just moving, and all of a sudden it's over. And it's such a great last 25 minutes of the movie, you know, just a great ending, and it moves quick. The whole movie's paced well, but those last 25 minutes are just pretty intense, you know. So, but a good movie, man. Fight Club. If you've never seen Fight Club, and you're a movie fan, and you enjoy our podcast, do yourself a favor and check out this film. It's definitely worth watching.
Definitely.
All right, I guess it's time for Duel of the Nerds. I've been thinking about this segment a lot. It's funny because when I texted you, I got busy and just forgot to give you all the subjects until last night. And when Long texted me that smiley face icon, I'm like, yeah, we got to end this segment soon. We'll do it maybe. We might not do it for episode 300. Maybe a couple more weeks, and then we'll. I have some ideas for some new segments coming after episode 300, because I realized like this wasn't intended for us to fight amongst ourselves, but it causes a bit of intensity amongst the trio, and I don't want to have to kick y'all's ass over our friendship over this segment. So it's probably better to end it before it gets that intense. Cause I felt like Long was going to jump through the phone last night and strangle me. That's, you know, with his emoji. But,
no. And, by the way, me and Matt never traded positions. So I guess we're stuck doing
that's fine.
What was originally assigned.
Yep.
So,
I lost last week. So I am the host and, since we did Fight Club this movie, I didn't want to be too cliche and do like a Fight Club type thing. Like I thought about having y'all both pick a celebrity I wanted to fight and tell me why y'all celebrity was a better choice, but that's just too biased.
That would have been better.
Yeah, but it would have been hard to pick. So instead I went with two of the strongest characters ever created on screen or comic books or wherever they came from. And I gave Thor to Long and He-Man to Matt. So whoever wants to go first.
No, I'm the winner. I get to pick.
Yep.
So, Matt, you go first.
Okay. Well, first of all, He-Man Masters of the Universe, you know how many memes are out there? You know how relevant it is? And still relevant it is off of a toy line. One, He-Man's so strong, his strength even reaches the memes. But, you know, that's, you know, it's tongue in cheek. But let's get down to the Bible of, you know, what's going to tell us that He-Man is the strongest. Because it's written in the texts of the DC Universe. Injustice, six comic books, He-Man beats Superman. One, we know He-Man beats Superman. And then in JLA versus Avengers in 2003, Superman beats Thor. Therefore, He-Man can beat Superman. Superman can beat Thor. There is no question at all. I mean, this is like, you know, that's like saying, hey, is it wrong to steal? You know, and you look at the Bible and it says, hey, thou shalt not steal. Oh, I guess it's bad. Boom. 1 + 2 = 3. No toilet paper math here. 3 + 3 = 9. No, even what? Though we see it on shelves all the time. He-Man, with the power of Grayskull, just he beats Superman, defends his universe from Darkseid, And we know Superman beat Thor. So there's no question. When these two guys meet up, He-Man's going to take his big-ass sword, and he's just going to go to town on Thor, big time. You know, Thor may put up a good fight, which Superman did say Thor was the strongest opponent he had ever fought at that time before he got beat by He-Man. But He-Man's ultimately going to win. Sword beats a cool accent and big biceps by Chris Hemsworth, or whatever version of Thor you want. Just make sure you're not kind of come after me with that version from the 70s Hulk TV show, The Incredible Hulk. You know, that guy, he looked like a bad cosplay, you know, just a B-movie Thor. So He-Man for the win. He's got the win inscripted in multiple comics.
Is this time up yet?
About 15 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Matt. Go ahead.
I'm done. I'm done.
You're done?
Okay. All right, Long. Come on, man.
You never did say which version of Thor, and I didn't have any time to do my homework. So I'll just go with all the versions of Thor, and I'll start with the OG, the mythological Thor, or during the time of the Vikings, he was not mythological. He was an actual god to them, the god of thunder, who brought glory and honor to those who the Vikings worshipped, and who basically explained how the world works in their worldview. And Thor was one of the original forces of creation, according to the Vikings and Scandinavian folk. Hell, there's still... relics of history going back thousands of years. And the reason why I mentioned this is that, I mean, Thor was actually worshipped by real people, while He-Man was created to sell toys, and that's basically it. and to entertain. Not quite the renown as the original Thor. And then, if you want to talk about pop culture, well, I could just name also so many things, but that would be too easy. But that's our Thor that we know. That hell, he's going to be in the new God of War game, and we're going to see Thor versus Kratos, and the Thor that was mentioned in the God of War video game. Sounds like he's a force to be reckoned with. And he supposedly is just as alluded to as being just as strong and powerful as Kratos, you know, who's part of the Greek mythology, while Thor was, I guess, the the Norse counterpart to Kratos, which I'm looking forward to that. And then... But yeah, as I mentioned earlier, the MCU Thor, I mean, come on. I actually enjoy the first Thor movie. I don't know why some people hate it, but I actually enjoyed it more than Captain America, first Captain America film. But anyhow.
30 seconds.
Yeah, that's my argument for Thor.
All right. Well, I would take my Dolph Lundgren version of He-Man over any of yours. I'm just going to say that right now. You know, and yeah, he is a god and he was worshipped, but he lost to a non-god. Superman's not a god and he lost to him. And guess what? He inadvertently lost to a toy line. I'm calling it right now. He lost to Superman. He-Man beat Superman. It's plain and simple. You can't argue with math, baby. You can't argue with science. It's science, even, baby. That's the equation.
Not even canon.
Oh, to you, conveniently. Yeah, I would say the same thing. But you know what? Dolph Lundgren smashes your Thor, god of sparkles, you know, because that's what Jeff Goldblum called them, sparkles. Don't forget that. Boom.
In 1 minute.
That's my, that's my bottle.
All right, Long.
Well, whatever. All I could say is that I wouldn't think that He-Man would go up against the Hulk as well as Thor did going against the Hulk. So we'll see who's... I don't know. Thor had the better stories. Like the God Killer and the Tree of Mythology from J. Michael Straczynski had really good... And then... anyways, it's Thor. Fuck it. I don't care.
Oh.
End this torture.
Yeah. Long. I mean, Matt brought one argument to the table. One. A comic book that's written by somebody who could have picked anybody they wanted to win. And they picked He-Man to win. Ah. Long. You had 60 years of Thor comic book history. The history stuff was good, though. But you... Oh. I mean...
I didn't have time to study. You gave us at the last minute. I know.
It's a little bit my...
So...
But that's why why I kind of picked easy subjects that, you know, that I didn't figure I'd be familiar with. But Matt...
Still,
Matt
got, I went the unconventional route.
Matt got this one this week, and that's, you know, that's okay, because I want to get my revenge on his sorry ass anyway.
So I get to pick the topic.
For giving you an easy win last week. So that bastard knows I won. He gave it to you.
So I get to pick the topic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm holding a grudge against you, Matt, on that one. Anyways, let's do a little bit of news. There's not a whole lot, so this won't take long. The DC animated movies, they finally announced their next one, and they had a trailer out for it. I'm kind of excited. Excuse me. I'm kind of excited for this one. They're doing a Green Lantern animated movie called Beware of My Power. And it's going to tell a story of Jon Stewart, and it's going to come out July 26th on Blu-ray. And it looks pretty cool, man. I like Green Lantern. It's one of my kind of second-tier favorite characters, so... That'd be a cool new DC animated film. It seems like it's been a while since we've had a DC animated film. What was the last one? Batman Long Halloween? It just seems like it's been a bit. So.
Yeah.
Then a couple other things. You know, Star Wars Day was this past week. We did not – I was going to lead into the show with Star Wars Day, but I led in with the Avengers instead. But May 4th, of course, is the fan holiday where we celebrate all things Star Wars. And this year was no exception to Disney making some announcements. Hasbro Pulse announced a bunch of new Star Wars figures coming out. One cool thing they announced that's coming to Disney Plus is a new docuseries called Light Magic, which is going to go behind the scenes of Industrial Light and Magic. And I think that's cool. I like stuff like that. But the big thing was we got a new trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi. And this trailer was lit, as the cool kids say. it's short, but goddamn is it sweet, and it has May 27th. Highly anticipated for me. I mean, I almost feel like just from the trailer, why is this not a movie? Because you guys remember it was going to be a movie when they were making the Solo movies and all that, the Star Wars story movies. And then they end up restructuring how they do things, and we're getting as a show instead. And I'm not less excited, but it sure feels like it should be a movie. And it's just cool to see Ewan back. And that the breathing of Darth Vader at the end of the trailer, if you're a Star Wars fan, that had to make you excited.
100%, man. And then you had the great Uncle Owen in there.
Yeah, but why is Joel Edgerton, and he looks like he's 45 years old, and then the movie's like 12 years after this, and they're all – look like they're in their 70s. I guess you have to retcon some things. We're going doing these prequels that weren't planned 40 years ago. Yeah.
But it kind of fits the age target in a way.
It's close, yeah.
I think I think Ewan and Alec are closer than Egerton and I can't think of the actor's name that played Owen, because they look significantly older. Like Ewan, you could believe that Ewan might look gray and older in 10 to 12 years, but Joel Egerton looks, he just has that young looking face. It's hard to believe that he looks that much older in 12 years. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's 15. I think I read Obi-Wan's 15 years before New Hope, which makes sense because it looks like Luke is about 3 or 4 years old and he's about 19, 20 in Star Wars. So, yeah. So, but I'm excited for it. I can't wait.
Same here, man.
And that's going to be a big day, man. Come home from work, take in 2 episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and that night, assumingly that night, we'll be recording our 300th episode. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. But before then, we have a couple more episodes. That's all the news, by the way. Before then, we have a couple more movies to get through. So next week, we're going to back things off from the R-rated stuff from the last couple weeks and do a movie that is very scrutinized by fans, but also it's one of those weird movies that's really scrutinized by fans, but also fans have kind of come to accept because it is a fun science fiction action movie, and that is 2007's live-action Transformers movie.
Got a little surprise for you, son.
No, 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 Dad! Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I am. You're not getting a Porsche.
Let me tell you something, son. A driver don't pick the cars. Mm-mm. Cars pick the driver. It's a mystical bond between man and machine.
What is this?
We're under attack!
We're facing war against a technological civilization far superior to our own. Our enemy can take any shape. They could be anywhere.
It's a robot. You know, like a super advanced robot. It's probably Japanese.
No, 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 no!
You have to get the car.
Trust me.
Bring it!
Yeah, this, man, I enjoy this movie. It's fun. To me, growing up watching Transformers, it was cool to see them come to life on the big screen. At first, it was a little weird seeing different versions of the characters because in your mind as a kid, you wanted to see the Generation 1 Transformers. But then once you saw it on screen, and the first time you see Optimus and Megatron, everyone appear on screen, I think Michael Bay did a good enough job capturing the essence and making a really just a kick-ass kind of live-action Transformers movie. Maybe it's not perfect. Maybe it's not great. But it's certainly fucking entertaining. And we'll look back on that next week on the show. As we look back on Transformers and, you know, it's got Megan Fox standing above a car looking really hot. That works too.
It's true. It's always cool seeing a chick that, you know, works on cars and knows cars and, she plays that part pretty well.
Yes, she does. She can work on my car all day long. Long is giving us a stare. Don't give us a stare, Long.
In the movie, she knows Chevys.
That's right. It's okay to swoon over her. So
swoon.
Enjoy. But that's next week on the show as we get closer to episode 300. But until then, the rebelradiopodcast.com is our official website, as always. And continue to be safe out there. And until next week, this is Mark.
This has been Matt.
This has been Matt.
Yawning.
This is Long.
Until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Do it.